How are you guys doing? Good. Good. Two people are doing okay. That's awesome. Well, this is the first time me and Jennifer have ever been up here together, so this is really fun for us. This is exciting. So, right? I joined the Army in 2004, okay? Now, I want you to understand that I didn't grow up like some of you no, I'm just kidding. I was going to call you guys hillbillies. You know, there's a lot of kids that grow up shooting guns and doing all these different things. When I joined the Army, I want you to understand, I had never shot a gun, ever. I shot a BB gun.
We've heard it.
I've never, okay? So when the first time I'm in basic training and they set me down to zero, okay, or group, which is, it's focused on taking your rifle so that you can shoot and be accurate at the target that you're shooting at. And when this happens, you have about a half dollar size from 25 meters that you need to put three consecutive rounds into to make sure that you have the same sight picture. It means that your face is, your cheekbone is constantly in the same spot. Your nose is on the same part of the rifle every single time. You're looking through the same spot on the sights every single time so that you're accurate. At 100 meters, it's about the size like this. You can zero at 100 meters. But every time that you zero, it's so that you can take your shot group and for further out, for 300 meters, for 400, 500 meters, whatever you're looking at for that long shot, you are accurate. You're going to hit it every single time. Now, the first time that I got down and I sat behind my sandbag, and I'm like, okay, I got this. And I get set up, and I'm like, pow. That's what it sounded like, pow. And I'm like, okay, pow. All right, I can't see it. All right, lock and clear. You take your bullets out of your weapon. You set it down so you make sure everybody's safe. Then you walk down there, and you get down there, and you got a bullet over here, one over here, and one down here. Okay, I got it. Come back, get behind my sandbag again. Pew. 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 Walk down. You like that? Pew. I'm going to put a little crack into it next time. Still all over the place. I was not good at shooting. That's when I realized that. After like the fifth time and I'm still not zeroed, I'm like, oh my gosh, I suck at this. I am not good. So, I every time that I got out and I shot, like I was nervous. I didn't know the Army. When I got into the Army, they're like, here, you need glasses. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm 24. I've never wore glasses. So now I don't know whether I'm supposed to zero with my glasses, without my glasses. I'm all over the place. I got sergeants yelling at me, come on, you cherry. Get it right. Get the same sight. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't even know what I was doing wrong. I started, every time that I went out, I tried to get better at it. I really, really focused on trying to keep my cheekbone in the same spot. Put my nose right on the charging handle. Make sure that my face was like, I would be like making sure my chin's in the right spot. Like, I mean, everything so that I could shoot and be accurate. And after practicing and doing it and stinking at it over and over and over and over, all of a sudden I got to the spot where it didn't matter what the target was. I'm shooting 40 out of 40. Anything in my sights is going down. Every single time. Without even a thought, just breathing. created an action. I did something every single day. Faith is an everyday applied action to become who God has made you. So what's the first thing that happens when we have to change, honey? What's the first thing that happens when you got to do something different?
We're role playing now. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so when we start to change, there's a counteraction that starts to happen. There's certain behaviors or thoughts or activities that start to come in your way to see if you're really serious about the change that you want to do or to become or to have to practice at, like Anthony's saying. So some things that I had thought of was, the first one that usually comes to me is fear. Okay, well, then there's doubt. Can I really do this? Should I really do this? Who really told me I should do this? Can I do this? Is this really something that I can see fruit in later, or positivity later, or will this help my life better somehow? So fear, there's frustration, because when you're doing something new, do you automatically just get it, like Anthony was saying? No, he had to spend hours probably. I don't remember that time frame in our life, if it was hours, but you're at work for hours, so who knows.
Army life,
yeah. Years. There's frustration because you don't know what you're doing, like he's saying. It's a new territory, excuse me, until you become familiar, till you start to work out those kinks that are driving you crazy because it's not making the change come the way you want it to.
You have to change your mindset. There has to be a mindset change. It doesn't matter what you want to do, okay? Whatever it is, you need to have a mindset shift in order to get better and stronger in that area. So when you decide that you want to be a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better daughter, a better at golf, a better at anything, at praying for someone, at stepping outside of your box, outside of being an introvert, or step into being an introvert a little bit as a overly powerful extrovert, you have to make adjustments. There has to be a mindset shift to take you into that area.
So one prime example was when Anthony, taking it back a little bit further, when he decided to join the Army, then he broke the news to my parents that we'd be moving away. And not to like the next state, but to like the other side of the states. And naturally my mom, of course, starts to cry, which then makes me cry because now I'm like, is this really what we're doing? And then we have a ton of friends that are there, of course, in California. So the time comes, you know, everything's happening. Movers are coming in and taking all my stuff. And now it's becoming real because my house is empty. I'm having to say bye to the most wonderful roommate that we had ever had.
The only.
Well, it's not the only, because we had like three before, but they all just really sucked.
Sorry if you're one of our roommates out there before.
But
you were all the one.
We had an amazing roommate, I'm not going to lie. So we had to say bye to everything that we were used to, okay? So then we come to North Carolina, and we pack up as much as we could in our little Kia Sophia at the time, okay? It was little, right, Chris? It was little. So we're packing, us two adults, we're packing two dogs, and we can't use the back seat because the dogs are in the back seat, and we have this tiny little trunk to, you know, everything that the Army actually does leave you. And so we come across the United States, across the states, and we get to North Carolina, and we are finally so glad to be home, well, to our new home. But then it settles in, we walk into an empty house, and we're like, I don't know how he is, but I was in panic mode because I don't have a bed. I definitely don't have any dishes. I have no friends. I don't even know the person that he works with. I don't even know what they're called. I don't know nothing, okay? I know absolutely nothing. And that's probably not right English. I'm sorry, but I have nothing. I know nothing. Now I'm really freaking out. And I don't know about you, but my hands start to sweat. I get cold, all those kind of different things happen to me. So I could have sat there and decided that I'm going to just be a party pooper and I'm going to stay in my house all the time and never make any new friends and never do anything. But he started taking me around to people in his, what do you call it?
Unit?
Unit. See, I still don't know the stuff. In his unit. And then I met someone, and she was a really nice person, and we started hanging out all the time. But I had to have this, like, mindset thing that he's talking about, that I wasn't going to be a party pooper. I wasn't going to be a loner. I wasn't going to stay and seclude myself. I was going to do something about it.
So what are all those stories for? Guess what? When you gave your moment, when you had your moment and you said, Lord, I want to be with you. Whatever you're doing, I want to do that. I know I watch people around me and they love you and they've given their life to you and I want that. Guess what, guys? That's not it. It doesn't end there. Now, you've just activated something called faith. Okay? Because now you said, when you said, God, I want you to be in control of my life, you said, Lord, I am going to live by faith and trust you to do the things that I need to do in my life. So let's think of a seed. When you have a seed and you plant it, it doesn't just grow.
Have you had that conversation with your kids about the apples yet? Because we have this one continuously in our house. As soon as we eat an apple, Annabelle wants to take the apple seed and go plant it in the backyard. And she thinks nothing of our backyard is mostly sand. So we don't have any good soil. We do have lots of water here, so that's okay. But she just instantly wants to make an apple tree.
But she doesn't want to do anything. She doesn't want to do anything.
I will be doing it all.
She doesn't want to do the daily routines to take that seed and grow it into a tree. You have to have action. It doesn't matter what. When it comes to growing things, any kind of growth, I want you to think about any kind of growth in life. It doesn't matter whether it's your children, whether it's a plant, whether it's you, whatever it is. There's always these different things that come with it, okay? You have to have things like nutrition, okay? You can't feed your kids Skittles for the rest of their life, which are absolutely delicious, and expect them to grow and be strong adults. In fact, they'll probably die, because that is the only thing that they're intaking into their body. They have to have good soil so that their roots grow strong. So you have to apply things that sometimes hurt. There was one time I came back from a deployment, and Brianna is, I love that little girl to death. She is so much like her daddy. Good Lord. So much it drives me crazy. I don't know how I'm still even alive. My parents, God bless them, okay? I tell the girl, she's like 3 or 4, I think. You were with us. We went to a Wendy's, and Brianna kept kicking off her sandals. And, I mean, she would just leave. They'd be over by the front door, and she's like walking around in Wendy's like it's her house. And I was like, put your sandals back on. She said, no. I'd just gotten back from a deployment. Usually I don't spank my kids for like a little time period when I come home because I don't want to overpower them. So I'm like, put your sandals back on now, otherwise I'm going to spank your butt. No. Freaks out. I sit down.
Okay, hold on. Brianna had a cry. What we were told was like an orca when she was little. So if anybody knows Brianna when she was little, this is, you would hear this noise.
So she like flips out, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh. I sit down next to Jennifer. I'm like, oh my gosh, I will never, ever spank her again, ever. I cannot handle that. I cannot do it. Not even 3 minutes later, do this. No. Dang it, I just said I wasn't going to do that. But I realized something at that moment. It wasn't because I just wanted to discipline her. It wasn't because I just wanted to correct her. It was because I wanted her to get a point. I wanted her to understand something. I wanted her to understand how to follow directions. And from that moment, I can take her and I can help her grow just a little bit more. There's so many times that when we become adults and as we get older and older and older, you've heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. First of all, that's not right. Okay? You have the power to change at any moment, at any time that you choose to. But what does it take from there? You know what? You could almost say it's a little bit better to say you can't teach someone to change habits and do it daily. Because the hardest thing for most people is to change habits. So we're going to study, we're going to go over 7 Hebrew words that cultivate faith by action. Okay, and we're going to do this by sharing a little bit of our journey. So if you have your phones and you're using the Holy Bible app, okay, our system's down today. So you won't have scriptures up here. So hopefully you brought a Bible or you have a phone. So
that's why we don't have Wi-Fi. Pseudo.
Yeah. So the first Hebrew word is hesed. Okay, hesed means love. Now, when we all think about love, it's easy for the human mind to think about, oh, I love you. Miss Bonnie, I love you. But there's different, in Hebrew, when they looked at love, there was many different types and words used for love. God's love is an agape love. This love that we're talking about right now has said, go ahead, read that definition, honey.
It's a completely undeserved kindness and generosity. Not just a feeling, it's an actual action. It's a reliable love and a faithful love. So if you think about now how to apply that, you're looking at like a continued support from a friend, a family member. It's how they instantly want to help you and try to work things out for you or with you, whatever. One example that we heard was it was the level-headed truth of a friend. Now, do you have a friend that's like just brutally honest with you all the time? And they don't mean it to hurt your feelings. They just want you to know the truth. So say we're just being stupid, and they're like, why are you acting like that? That is level-headed truth, because they're realizing that you're doing something that you don't normally do.
What about a love enough to see somebody hurting and take action on it? To see somebody that's down and out, to see somebody that is struggling in every area of their life and have love for them enough to step in and say, hey, what's going on? How about the love enough to see somebody dying and be able to look at them and say, hey, I want you to know that I'm praying for you and I'm keeping you in prayer for these areas. Be direct.
It says a faithful love. One thing that really came to my mind was I saw my mom and I went to church a lot as a kid by ourselves. My dad had things going on in his life that he was dealing with on his own, but she always, always, always made a point to pray for him every single day. And that was, really? Sorry.
I was going to answer it and tell him, hey, we're preaching right now. We got to go.
That's like that faithful love, because no matter what, she didn't want to go to church by herself. She didn't want to take me and be an example of what a home should be by herself. Now, my dad was an amazing dad, don't get me wrong. But there was something that kept him away from church all his life. But she continued, and she continued, and she continued. And that was that faithfulness that led him to where he is now.
So Isaiah 54:10. Okay. It says, "For the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you." It's a faithful love. The second word we're going to look at, okay?
A little side note. We went on Google, because you can Google almost everything, to know how to pronounce all of these words. Now, they don't make any sense in normal English.
I told Dan if we mess it up, then yeah. He needs a shout from out
Thanks.
There.
Thank you.
The correct pronunciation.
So we listened to these, and some of these are funny when you Google them, so you should Google them.
Imuna. Just kidding, Dan. I love you. It means faith. Okay? This kind of faith is less knowing it, but doing it. Let me say that one again. This faith is less knowing it and more doing it. To take firm action. To have faith is to act. Okay? I am an action person. Okay? I want you to know that. My personality is just that way. If somebody says, "Hey, we're going to do this," I'm like, "Okay, well, let's do it. Let's stop talking about it. Let's just do it." Okay? But with the people that we relate to and the people that we are talking to all the time, you know what the biggest struggle is? Action. Stop talking about how we know about faith and we have faith in God. Well, if you have faith, then do it. Do it every single day. Step out. Help change somebody's life. Let your faith come out. Because the only way, it's just like, you know, if you want to get stronger, then you better exercise. Your body's not just magically going to go one day, "Whew, I feel good. Ate a pack of Skittles." Well, with my kids, that's probably what would happen.
That's what Josiah does.
Right?
But it also takes the words or the phrase that you've also heard before. Actions speak louder than words. You can say it all you want, but unless you actually do it, are you really going to be that proven example to the people around you that, one, you believe that God has rescued you from sin or whatever's going on in your life? That you are a good parent. Sometimes we don't look well in front of other people because we're having a rough day, but are you really joyful about the children around you? That's about all I got for those examples.
Your staircase. Talk about your staircase, baby.
Okay, so we bought, I don't even know what it was for. I think it was for Mother's Day last year. My mom, this picture of, or painting? It was a picture. This woman we met through Facebook, she goes around and she takes pictures of just these random things, and she'll print them out the way you want them, the size you want them, I guess I should say. And so we saw some of her work, and there was this staircase that just kind of was circular, and it just kept going and going and going. So when you look at it, you're kind of drawn to it every time because it's like an endless circle. You just kind of keep going, but it's not in a bad way, like an endless circle. This is like, you get a sense of about it, okay? But if you think about it, you're at the bottom of this step. You know, just like you're at your house and you have stairs, if you have stairs, you're not going to get to the top if you just stay at the bottom. You have to take an action to take each step. It's the same thing in our everyday life. To get somewhere, you have to move. To get somewhere, you have to talk to somebody, you know, something like that. If I want to call somebody, I can't just magically appear a conversation. Like, I actually have to dial the number. I have to talk to someone.
So James 2:17, okay, we're going to try and step on the gas a little bit. James 2:17 says, this is the New Living Translation, and I switched Jennifer's over to the Amplified. Says, "So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless.
Okay, so here's the Amplified. So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, or dead.
Third word is tefillah. You wrote down all kinds of extra stuff in that one, huh?
Because you weren't saying it right.
It means prayer. This kind of got me, okay? Do you know that prayer in English means to ask or to beg? Okay? Prayer in Hebrew means it's time to self-evaluate. So when we step into prayer, how many times do we find ourselves going, Lord, I really need this. I need a financial breakthrough. I need this. I need that. But yet we don't speak the actions that we're going to take into place. Or maybe it's just the simple fact of, Lord, I want to have a closer relationship with you. So what are you going to do? Show up to church on Sunday? Because that ain't going to do it, guys. Sorry. I love church. I love seeing all you guys. But this isn't why our relationship is stronger. This isn't why... This has not made it to where we have trusted in God so much that we believe in him for everything. It's our daily actions and our routines that have built us to being a stronger couple, to being united and as one, because we do it every single day. We wake up, we do a devotional, we pray together, we read our Bible together, we worship together, even while we're working in front of our computers. It's a daily action. But when we pray, that is a time to self-evaluate. What am I not doing, Lord? What am I not doing? What do I need to do? What is your plan for me today when I walk into Walmart? Not, Lord, because think about this. You can say this two different ways. You can say, Lord, when I walk into Walmart, let people come across my path so that I can affect their lives. Or just by changing the words, you can say, Lord, I'm going to walk into Walmart and people are going to walk across my path and I'm going to see the things that you want me to see. I'm going to speak the things that you want me to speak. And I'm going to walk into Walmart and change someone's life. I didn't ask. I gave an action of what I'm going to do when I walk into Walmart.
He kind of like took ownership of what he was going to do. Okay? So the other day we were, the kids were at school all day, obviously. And Annabelle came home and she was so overly chatty. And if you know Annabelle, she's chatty. But this was over the top chatty to where it was driving me crazy to the point where I looked at Anthony and my eyes just went like, I'm gonna have a moment in a second. But it's not her fault. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was just talking. She probably had to be quiet a lot that day because she had so much to say. And it was like, Mommy, I want to eat this. Mommy, can I have this? Mommy, can we go do this? Mommy. It wasn't Daddy anything. It was Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. And I looked at Anthony and I was like, I don't know if it's her or if it's just me. I think I might be off. So I'm going to go take a moment outside on the patio in the backyard. Can you keep everybody away from me, please? He was like, okay. But I had to take that, I had that moment of, okay, this really isn't her, so I can't, like, there's nothing to be disciplined. There is nothing that she is doing wrong. This is me, so let me go take myself out of the equation for a moment so I can get right. So 2 Corinthians 13:5 is what basically backs that up.
Oh, you already got it.
Yeah, man. In the New Living Translation, sorry. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. So Anthony's example of Walmart, he already knows in that, just hypothetical, he already knows that God is with him. He already knows that he has the power and authority to walk with Christ as he is going in his day. So he has taken ownership. He has that faith that when he meets people that come across his path, he's going to be able to help them somehow, some way, word or deed.
Fourth word, ruach. This means to breathe. It also means, or it means breath, I'm sorry. It means breath. It also means spirit in Hebrew. It has two different, means breath and spirit. Psalm 150, verse 6.
Okay, I went to the wrong one.
Can you go to the Amplified?
Sure.
It says, let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I went to 105. I had a moment.
So while she's looking that one up, okay, I want you to think about this. It means breath and spirit. Word, ruach. So when we start thinking about our breath, are you thinking about breathing right now? If you're thinking about breathing, there's something wrong. The breath, every time that you breathe, your body just naturally does it. So why do you need to think about the Spirit of God coming out of you? Why do you need to think about the spirit of walking in his presence? Why do you need to think about, as you're going into places, that it's visible, that people see the Spirit of God in me, because they can see me breathing. It's natural. Yeah.
Okay, so this was the Amplified version. Let everything that has breath and every breath of life praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Another part of this word, okay, without breath, you have to understand that we're just skin and bones, okay? If you're not breathing, you're dead. So breath gives us life. When we think about what we should be doing every single day, if the breath and the spirit are the same, okay, then we should be inhaling the spirit and exhaling life into the world around us. I'm taking in more Jesus. Ooh, sorry. No. You should be exhaling the spirit into every atmosphere that you walk into. It should be as natural as breathing. Go ahead, did you have something on that?
No, you're good.
Next word. Word number 5, we're almost done, is shalom. Okay? Now, if you've been to Iraq, you've been to anywhere in an Arab country, you already have a little bit of what shalom is. It means peace. Okay. We live in a messy world, okay, where things that the church as a whole has called wrong and called all these different things, and then you have people that are so hateful now that, like, they literally do things to themselves, like cut themselves. They're hurting. The world around us is hurting. It's a mess. So our faith should be stepping out and creating peace in people's lives. And it's an action. It's not something that we just hold within us. It's not because we have so much peace that we just watch the chaos around us. Jerusalem is made up of two different words. Okay? Let me make sure I say this right. Yerushalayim. Say it again. I was close. And by close, I mean far from it. It has...
They broke up the words, and they separated what the two meanings of the words meant. So, Yeru, which means you will see, and Shalom, which means the peace of God. So they would see the peace of God.
So you're saying that in Jerusalem, right, you will see the peace of God.
But in our daily reading that day, which was really eye-opening, to be honest with you, because we never thought about it like this, is, I mean, we kind of have, but not really that in-depth, I guess, of we're supposed to be the new Jerusalem. Well, we are the new Jerusalem, kind of, because the world is all chaotic, it's all crazy, it's messy, it's ugly, there's just craziness going on, and you can hear about it if you turn on the news for 5 minutes, okay? So we're supposed to be those people that bring the peace because we have the kingdom of God in us already. So we're supposed to step into it and bring them the peace that they should know. But since it's chaotic, they're blind, they don't see it, there's havoc, and there's craziness. So we're constantly having to step out in that faith and do it and be the kingdom of God already. Make sense?
So in John 14:27, it says, this is Jesus speaking, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift to the world, or a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. It's giving us peace. The sixth word is nefesh. It has two different meanings again. It means soul, and it means life. This nefesh is something that you can see. Okay? It's visible. So I want you to think about the sky. Okay, think about the sky. The whole world sees the sky. You know the sky's there. It doesn't matter whether you're in America or in Afghanistan. You can see the sky. This nefesh is talking about your life and your soul being visible to the world around you. It's talking about that when you walk into an area, people can see. They see the presence of God in you. They know your heart. I shouldn't have to say a word. I shouldn't have to say anything. I should walk in, and because the joy of the Lord is overflowing in me, because it is my strength, they go, there's something different about that person. I know they know Jesus. I know it. When I worked in the restaurant business, you know who the worst people were to serve? Christians. On Sunday, I hated Sundays because all these Christians come in and they had everything to complain about. Everything. I can't even express it to you. And all I could think was I would listen to a server walk in the back and they're not speaking in tongues, okay? They're going off.
And if you sat right close to the kitchen, you heard it.
That's what I'm like, quiet, I can hear you. But now I had to step in and go, look, that's not what people that love God are about. I don't want to talk bad about that person, but people that truly love God and truly are walking in his heart, they're not like that. Okay, I'm not saying that you shouldn't, if there's something wrong with your food, I ain't saying that you shouldn't send it back. there's just ways that you can do it and be constructive in your interaction with your server and with a manager. And then there's ways to destroy a relationship right from the get-go. But what they see is important. It's visible. You want to talk about your rainbows? I know that it was like...
That wasn't my rainbows. So we were talking about things. Because what it was really saying in the scripture, which I would really like to read it to you first, is the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Sorry. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. So to me, the part that really stood out was it says something to you without even saying anything to you with words, no verbal message whatsoever. It's almost like something that just comes to your thoughts and comes to your soul, okay? Because it was talking about nefesh means your soul, and it also means life. So Anthony is naturally drawn to when there's a thunderstorm and lightning. Man, this guy wants to go sit outside. And he wants to sit on the porch and he wants to watch it because it does something to his soul. It brings this, I don't even know what it is because I don't relate to it at all that way. But it's beauty, okay? It's talking about that beauty that God has rested in the sun, in the skies, and whatever. It does something to his whole body. It does something to his mind and his heart. And then if you know me in any way, what would get me is like after the rain, where there's the clouds, they seem fluffy, they seem brighter, there's all this, I know that sounds so silly, but it's totally true, because there's a rainbow, and then you'll hear all of our kids, look at the rainbow, and it brings something else to you. I mean, they have words, but it brings something else to your soul. It brings this abundant, like, oh yeah, there's glorious going on, yeah, it looks beautiful, that kind of thing. That's what I feel this scripture is really talking about in this word. It was Psalms 19, 1 through 4.
They see beauty when they look at you. And I don't mean like beauty when I look at my wife. I mean like, do they see the glory and the beauty of God?
Because if we're going throughout our day, I think there's a moment where people are naturally drawn to you, but they don't know why yet. They could come into that room and they want to be near you. For whatever reason, you give them peace. You give them happiness. You make them want to have a better life. You make them want to be joyful and shrug the junk off their shoulders. They're just naturally drawn to you. And you'll notice it, I'm not joking you, because there's day in and day out that people come to and talk to us, and we're like, I don't know where that came from.
The last word, and I know we're running behind, I'm sorry. I told Pastor I was fitting 7 weeks. We were squeezing 7 weeks into one, so is ma. And it means chaos.
Doesn't mean mom. Ma. Sorry. Had a joke. Come on now.
What a goofball. So ma means chaos. Jennifer's going to look up this scripture. We're going to read the scripture first. John 6, 19.
Okay, it's going to be a little different than yours, though, because Anthony wanted to read it out of the Message Bible. I'm sorry, I'm taking long. Whoa.
Sorry, it's Brianna's phone, so.
That threw me for a loop. I was like, go ahead.
So, John 6, 19. In the evening, his disciples went down to, well, it starts at 16 in the Message. In the evening, his disciples went down to the sea, got in the boat, and headed back across the water to Capernaum. It had grown quite dark, and Jesus had not yet returned. A huge wind blew up, churning the sea. They were maybe 3 or 4 miles out when they saw Jesus walking on the sea, quite near the boat. They were scared senseless, but he reassured them, "It's me! It's me! It's all right, don't be afraid." So they took him aboard, and in no time they reached land, the exact spot where they were headed to. Guess what, guys? Your life is going to have chaos. There are going to be moments when you don't understand what's going on. God did not, when you said, Lord, come into my heart, it wasn't so you can do, do, life's so wonderful. That's not how it works. In fact, in most moments, you have to learn how to struggle so that you can learn how to help others in their struggles. There's chaos. There's moments of chaos in life, and you have to learn how to be able to control it. Life is noisy. It's busy. And even in that moment, they could still hear his voice. Why? Because they were looking for him. They were looking for him. Even in the moments of chaos. You know, humans, we are very habitual. Okay? If every Wednesday I eat at McDonald's for lunch, guess what's going to happen on Wednesday? I'm going to crave McDonald's at lunchtime. If every morning you wake up and the first thing that you do is have coffee, you're not going to feel very good if you wake up and you got your coffee. You're going to go through the whole day, might want to choke the wife out later on, who knows?
No.
We're creatures of habit. So in order to do things, okay, in order to change who we are, in order to be able to affect and bring faith and change the world, you got to change a habit. You can't just get on Facebook and go, I can't believe Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Donald Trump, what is the United States coming to? Who cares? Who gives a crap? Let's be honest. Because I love our country and I vote. But guess what? It's not about them. Because I'll tell you what, if the church decided that it wanted to step up and it wanted to walk out in faith and take action, then we would be doing a lot more than just sitting around complaining on Facebook and on social media about what's going on in our country and around the world. The problem is even when they took prayer out of our schools, we took minimal action. We want to come to church and say, oh. And there's people that was fighting against it and doing different things, but there's action. We have to take action every single day in order to make sure that we're pushing where God wants us to push. Can you guys hand out those little cards really quick? So, what are you going to do to show the world around you your love? These are the seven words we just went over. What are you going to do to the world around you to show your love, your faith, your prayer or self-examination, the breath of God in you, the peace of God in you, your soul, God's beauty? And how we react in the chaos. What are we going to do? We're going to do a daily workout.
So,
guess what?
Pause. When we're doing everything that we do outside of the church, and like we have when we are working with our coaches and stuff like that, or our challengers, we have a call to action is what we call it. Because you can't just keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Just like we're saying, you have to do something. So this is what our way of telling you that now here this is what you're going to do. So we have a challenge for you for the month of June. And we just printed out a prayer that we came up with. And if there's run-on sentences, just roll with it. It's great. You had to put it together, okay?
It's taking these seven words. You're not asking. You're not begging. What we are asking of you is every day through the month of June, you read this out loud. Not to yourself, out loud.
So you need to put it somewhere where in your daily going, before you go to work, before you go to the gym, before you go to whatever you're going to do, you have it visible. Mirror, refrigerator, car, window thing, your mirror thing up there. Wherever you're going to see it, that you do something every single day to.
So,
you want me to read it?
Let's start today. Yeah, well, you guys ready? We're going to read it together. It's going to be our first, this is day one, okay? Go ahead. You did the teaching thing.
Am I
going to
read it like Anna? One word? No, I'm just kidding.
Anna, when we do the daily verse, she'll go, Lord.
She waits for us all to repeat it.
Word by word. Bro. We're driving to school. We live like a minute away. Come on.
It's really cute, but some mornings it don't work that way.
So you guys just read it with us as we go.
Lord, show me what to do today to love the world around me and take the steps of faith to follow through with the actions that you call me to do in everyday surroundings. I will take this time of prayer to enlighten my behaviors, to be the breath of life, and bring praise in every atmosphere I walk through. So those around me will sense your peace through me, so they can experience the kingdom of heaven in me. Your beauty will be visible like the morning sun, shining bright into the darkest areas of chaos. Thank you for the actions that you are going to bring into my path today to step into a deeper walk of faith with you. Amen.